comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here. You could be doing a billion other things right now, but you've chosen to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Tonight is K-Files night. Those of you who are regular listeners to this show know what that is, don't you? K-Files is the name of our free weekly newsletter, K-Files Night. Well, that means that after the show tonight, we begin sending out the K-Files. We begin distributing this week's edition of the K-Files. And you could be receiving that, you know. If you're not subscribed, you need to subscribe. It's free. Why wouldn't you? We started publishing that back in 2000, and way back then it was just a text-based, just text, email. But we were getting pretty much rave reviews from back then. These days it's dressed up a little bit better, it looks a little bit better, and we're still getting rave reviews. Some of the folks that subscribed back then, most of them, way back in 2000, are still subscribed to the K-Files, so it must be pretty good. To subscribe, just go over to my website and look right in the middle of the screen. You'll see where it says K-Files. Click it, and you're good to go. I've been telling you about the fact that I will be speaking at the Alchemy event. Now, the Alchemy event will take place in Los Angeles, November the 11th through the 13th, and I'll be out there speaking. I will arrive on the 12th. I will speak on the 13th, and it'll be meet and greet on the 12th. I'll be out there, and you can just come up to me and talk to me, meet me. I want to meet you. That's the point. And I've been getting a few emails. I've gotten a couple of emails from people who say, boy, I really want to come to that, and I really want to meet you, and I'm really thinking about coming to that. Well, you need to hurry up and think and go ahead and register, because on November 1st, the prices change, at least for the online streaming it does, I know for sure. But you need to go ahead and register and reserve your place to be there. And let's get this thing underway and get it on. I want to meet you there. And especially anybody, any of you who also want to attend my 2012 party, please walk up to me, tell me, let me get your name and contact information so I can be sure to get you all of the details for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Our members community continues to grow. Welcome to all of our new members, and let me welcome you in advance, because tonight is your night when you decide to take the plunge and enter the world of the informed. It's only $7.50 a month. That comes out to 25 cents a day. That's it, 25 cents per day. And, man, just look at all the great stuff you get for that. Tonight's your night. All right, and we'll give you the first 7 days for free. All right, we're going to take a break, and we shall return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Ladies and gentlemen, something rather amazing has just taken place. Now, those of you that listen to me on a regular basis, you're here every night or virtually every night, or at least several times a week, and you've been listening now for some time, you have heard me say that when a black hole develops in the information, that's where the truth is hiding. That's where they're trying to hide the truth. And what is, I told you something rather amazing has happened, and it has. I wouldn't say that it's really astounding, because we've seen this sort of thing happen many times before. It's just amazing, though, that the people who have done this amazing thing have not learned from their past track record. That's kind of amazing. Anyway, it has to do with the U.S. Air Force. And before we get into this, I want to say that I have great respect for the U.S. Air Force. I'm not dissing the U.S. Air Force. I'm not painting the U.S. Air Force with a broad brush, but there's a small group of people in the U.S. Air Force that have done something not really too bright. And, I mean, it's not something that damages national security, so far as I can see, but still not real bright. Now, here's what has happened. And I want to thank one of our listeners, and he is a member at the Kevin Smith Show, Patrick Manchi. I got several people sent me this information in my suggestion box, and I want to encourage you to do that. Whenever you see something you think would be interesting for a show, or you think it's just something you want to draw my attention to, go to our contact page, click suggestion, and send it to me. I get a number of those daily, and I read every one of them, and I believe me, they are gold. But Patrick, there were several that sent me this. Patrick was the first one, so he gets the credit for it. I want to thank everybody else also who sent this to me. Back in 2008, the U.S. Air Force published an updated version of an instruction manual that they give to Air Force personnel, certain Air Force personnel. Now, you can have a copy of that 2008 version that we're going to be talking about tonight. It's in PDF format. All you have to do is go over to my website and click the picture about tonight's show. Okay? For those of you who are watching our TV channel, it's the picture that's on your screen right now, right beside me. It's right over here. Okay? Just click that, and it will download to your computer this PDF file. It's in a zip format, so it'll be easy to download. And then you just unzip it and read it. And I think it's 111 pages. Now, in this manual, it has instructions for everybody that it's given to. And it says it's mandatory. These are mandatory instructions. Now, as far as I know, that manual has not been updated since 2008 until now. And what happened was the Huffington Post asked the Pentagon a specific question about something in that manual. The Pentagon's response was to take it out of the manual and reissue the manual without it in there. What are we talking about? Well, I'm going to show you in detail, but let me give it to you in summary. All right. In this manual, it tells Air Force personnel what they are to do and what their procedures are if they see certain things. Okay, for instance, if they see an unlisted airfield, what are they supposed to do? If they see a ship or a submarine close to U.S. waters, they are to report it, and who they're to report it to, that sort of thing. All right, so this is a very useful and very important manual. On page 37 of this manual, it says what they are supposed to do if they see an, and the words are, unidentified flying object. Well, it's always been rather curious. I mean, I knew that was there. In fact, I've done shows about that. I've done shows where we have mentioned that. We've quoted that before. That over the years, I mean, that's been there for a while, for a long while. That's not new news. We've talked about it, and other shows have talked about it. People have written blogs about it. Forums have discussed it, and there's never ever been any response whatsoever from the U.S. Air Force, from the Pentagon, about this entry on page 37 of that document. Now, the document you will download is, in fact, the 2008 version, the one that was current up until Huffington Post asked, why do you have this in this manual, if you say that you're not interested in, you're not investigating UFOs, then why do you have that there? Because not only does it say, if you see things to report, if you see, and then it has them listed, and unidentified flying object is one of them. So why do you have that there, if, in fact, you are no longer investigating UFOs? The Pentagon response, okay. They took it out. That is a black hole in the information, isn't it? All of a sudden, information goes missing. Now, you might say, well, they just didn't realize it was still in there, and that's going to be, I'm sure, the explanation. Well, we just didn't realize that it was still in there. We hadn't noticed that, and we ended our investigations of UFOs back in 1969. Well, let's see if they did, or let's see if this is, in fact, a black hole. Everyone is familiar with something called Project Blue Book. Now, a lot of people have said Project Blue Book was pretty much a whitewash, so the government could say, yeah, okay, we're investigating UFOs. But they never really intended to truly investigate and to really tell us about UFOs. Well, that's only partially true. I mean, there was some of that, but that's only partially true. What our TV viewers are seeing now is the cover of Project Blue Book Special Report 14. Now, this report does a statistical analysis of all of the UFO reports. Well, I have done a show on this special report. But without getting into a lot of detail here, because you can go online, you can get this report and read it for yourself. People say, well, Project Blue Book dismissed the idea that there were flying saucers, that there were UFOs, and they decided finally just to shut it down because it was not productive. Well, that is the exact opposite of the truth. When you read Project Blue Book Special Report 14, what you discover is that they come up with about 1,700. I mean, there were thousands. There were like 13,000. 13,000. UFO reports, something like that, that they took a look at. And they dismissed almost all of those. You know, natural causes, misidentified real aircraft that we know about but misidentified, lens flares on cameras, and all kinds of things. So they were able to dismiss a lot of them, and probably, I would say, legitimately. But there were about 1,700 that were still unknowns. And the ones that remained as unknowns were the ones about which they had the most detail. They were the ones that they had the best reports on, the best witnesses in terms of, being able to identify aerial phenomena and describe it in terms that the Air Force is used to describing aerial phenomena. In other words, pilots. So, the very, very best reports they had are the ones that remained unknown. So far from determining that UFOs are just so much swamp gas, Project Blue Book actually turns out to be an official statement by the U.S. government that UFOs are real. Now you might say, yeah, but they got rid of most of, the 95%. Well, it wasn't 95%, but it was way less than that. But they got rid, we'll say 95. They got rid of 95% of them. They dismissed them. Yeah, but let me ask you, how many elephants does it take to prove there are elephants? Just one. And we're talking about not one, but 1,700 or so they could not identify. Well, that is an unidentified flying object. So I thought tonight what we would do is track this down and see if we're going to buy what's just happened with this manual, or if we're going to recognize that they've just created a black hole in information which automatically draws attention to it. You know what a black hole does? A black hole sucks in everything around it. So if we're already looking at this, which we have been, everybody in the UFO community has already been looking at this manual and talking about it for years. And then you create a black hole. It automatically sucks in not only the information you're trying to hide, but it sucks everybody's attention that direction. So let's see if that's what's happened or not. So we have Project Blue Book, all right? Let's talk about Project Blue Book for just a second, and then we're going back before Project Blue Book and look at a chain of events here. The first director of Project Blue Book was Captain Edward J. Ruppelt. He was a very young, very energetic, very open-minded kind of guy, and he was a captain in the U.S. Air Force. And he was put in charge of Project Blue Book right at the beginning. Captain Ruppelt, after he left military service, wrote a book about his work with Project Blue Book. And it's available on our website. And he is the person who coined the phrase unidentified flying objects. We use it all the time now. All over the world, people talk about UFOs. Well, that's the guy that came up with that term. And he wrote this book after he left military service where he talks very openly and frankly about Project Blue Book's investigation into UFOs, and he speaks very openly and frankly about some military cover-ups where they were covering up information even from him and Project Blue Book. It's pretty interesting. You know, he also frequented UFO conferences and meetings. He was very interested in it. Very interesting what happened to him. In 1960, at the age of 37, he suddenly, mysteriously died of myocardial infarction. He had a heart attack. Now, certainly, death doesn't care how old you are. Certainly, there are other 37-year-olds who have heart attacks and die, even athletes. And so this might be completely a natural thing that happened. I mean, strange that it happened at age 37, but maybe there's nothing else mysterious about that. But it does make you raise an eyebrow when you realize that within a year, they released his book again. This time, it had an additional chapter which repudiated everything else in the book and just debunked the whole book, allegedly written by Ruppelt. And when they released it, they did not put on the cover that it was a revised edition. They didn't tell anybody that it was revised, so people who were just coming into that subject and just getting to know it were buying the book thinking they were getting the book Ruppelt had already published. They didn't know it was a revised edition, and they get the poison pill. And the poison pill is that extra chapter that allegedly was written by Ruppelt that says, everything I've already written is not true. Basically, that's what it does to the book. So when you put that with his death at age 37, it certainly makes one raise an eyebrow. Now let's go back in time just a little bit. An Air Force memorandum released via the Freedom of Information Act and dated October the 20th, 1969, and signed by Brigadier General C.H. Bolander states, now I said we're going back in time, but it appears we went forward in time, but watch this. It states that even after Blue Book was dissolved, that reports of UFOs would still continue to be handled through the standard Air Force procedure designed for this purpose. And further, he wrote, quote, reports of unidentified flying objects which could affect national security are not part of the Blue Book system, end quote. So what does that have to do with Ruppelt? And what does that have to do with this change that we have after Huffington Post asked a question? We'll find out right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. So, we have a statement. I want to go back to the statement. We have a statement that says, from C.H. Bolander, he is a brigadier general, and this is at the time when they canceled Blue Book, he writes this memo, and the memo says that reports of UFOs will still, and I'm quoting, continue to be handled through the standard Air Force procedure designed for this purpose. So we know there is a standard Air Force procedure for this. He further states, and I quote, reports of unidentified flying objects which could affect national security are not part of the Blue Book system. So the real UFO reports, the heavyweight reports, were never in the Blue Book system. Therefore, they are not affected by the cancellation of Project Blue Book. You see? So let's see what we can find out about this standard Air Force procedure. We don't know a great deal about it, but this document, this personnel instruction manual, it's a U.S. Air Force personnel instruction manual, and it says it's not mandatory. I mean, it's not optional. It is mandatory. Okay? So the people that receive this have to do what it says. Okay. Now, this is 2008. In 2008, this is an updated version published in 2008. And on page 37 of this manual, we read something pretty interesting. We read a section that says, it says, report the following specific sightings. Now, that statement is item 5.6.3. 5.6.3.3 says, unidentified flying objects. That's a quote. Those are the words. Okay, well, let me just read the list. Report the following specific sightings. Hostile or unidentified aircraft. So, the reason that's important is because that's different from unidentified flying objects. Hostile or unidentified aircraft, which appears directed against the United States, Canada, or I can't read that. They're, I guess that's forces. Yeah. On my screen, it's a little blurry. Okay, the next thing they are to report if they see is missiles. The next thing they are to report if they see, unidentified flying objects. So we see that the term unidentified flying objects does not refer to unidentified aircraft. Unidentified aircraft is mentioned specifically first. Hostile or unidentified aircraft. The third thing that is mentioned is unidentified flying objects. So this is what, if they see this, the Air Force is to report it. So if a pilot is up and flying around and he sees an unidentified flying object, he is under orders to report it. It is not optional. It is mandatory. He is to report it. But how is he to report it? Well, let's see if we can figure that one out. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, this instruction manual is very specific. And what we have here, it says here's how they are to report it. 5.6.4. Make every effort to document sightings with as many photographs as possible. Send the undeveloped film or prints and negatives with a brief witness report and other identifying information. Are you ready for this? Where do you think they would send it? You think they would send it? I would think they would send it to some Air Force general somewhere. No. Send it to the Director of Naval Intelligence, Department of the Navy, Washington, D.C., 20305. The Department of the Navy will process the film and return one copy of each print and a roll of new film to the individual. There's the procedure. Now, it's outlined and published. So whenever we see that Project Blue Book comes to an end, and people wonder, well, okay, does that mean that the pilots don't have to report UFOs anymore? No, not at all. Because General Bolander said reports of UFOs will continue to be handled through the standard Air Force procedure designed for this purpose. Reports of unidentified flying objects, which could affect national security, are not part of the Blue Book system. So what we're looking at is documentation scant though it may be, but documentation of the procedure for the Air Force to handle reports of UFOs by their personnel. First of all, they are absolutely mandated to report it. Secondly, they are to document it with as many photographs as possible. Thirdly, they are to send that roll of film plus a report not to the Air Force, but to the Director of Naval Intelligence. You've heard me say on this show that, in case you don't know it, the Navy is the big boy among all of the uniformed services. And, in no way am I denigrating any other service. My dad was a Marine. I had an uncle that was an Air Force fighter pilot. I have a lot of respect for all of the services, but hey, come on, guys, you know. The Navy gets the bulk of the budget. And, maybe that's because their vehicles are the really big ones. They are the ones who have the vehicles that carry a population of a small city, a large town, or a small city. Those aircraft carriers are floating cities. And so they get the bulk of the budget. And they are the ones that are always, historically, they're the ones that are always out there exploring the new frontiers. Okay. So what's that got to do with this thing with the Huffington Post? Bolander said in 69, there's a side procedure for the really serious UFO reports. And when an Air Force person sees a UFO, here's what they have to do. They have to report it. They have to document it with as many photographs as possible. And they have to send those photographs and report to the Director of Naval Intelligence in Washington, D.C. Bolander told us what the procedure is. Bolander told us there was a procedure. This manual tells us what the procedure is. So the Huffington Post asked a pretty good question, and that is, well, if you're not investigating and not interested in UFOs and there's nothing to this, why do you have that in your instruction manual? So they took it out. When you make information disappear, when you do that, you know you're going to draw attention. You know, if guys, look, in the Air Force, I know you probably think, you know, who is this pipsqueak civilian and what does he know? Well, you know, it's us that hired you. It's us that pay you. So listen, if you don't want to draw attention to this, you don't make information like that disappear. You just leave it alone, and your response is, well, you know, if you see a bunny rabbit in the air, we want it reported. That's all you had to do. And but by making it disappear, what you've done is you've made us realize that this probably is really still ongoing and important. You said, look, we want Air Force personnel to make every effort to document sightings with as many photographs as possible, send undeveloped film or prints and negatives with a brief written report and other identifying information to the Director of Naval Intelligence, Department of the Navy, Washington, D.C., 20305. The Department of the Navy will process the film and return one copy of each print and a roll of new film to the individual. And you thought by taking that out of the manual, you would make it go away? Now, what we're looking for, and I guess we'll have to get it through Freedom of Information, if we ever can. Freedom of Information means we will give you information when we damn well please. So maybe some way we will get information somewhere that you sent out a memo that rescinds what Brigadier General Bolander said, that there is a side rail method for military to report UFO sightings. Until you rescind that, we know that that's still in place. Now, folks, if you think, you know, we talk about how the military will not allow this information out. We talk about how the intelligence people won't allow this information out. And then we paint with a broad brush and say the government won't let this information out. Look, people inside the system have been fighting that same issue since the beginning of this. On September the 28th, 1947, Brigadier General George, I think it's pronounced Shulgin, received from General Twining an assessment about UFOs. And let me summarize. You can find the Twining memo online, but let me summarize it. Twining was the head of Air Materiel Division at Wright-Patterson. So he writes to Brigadier General George Shulgin about UFOs, and this is his assessment. He basically says they're real. They operate intelligently, even flying in formations, at speeds we cannot achieve. They operate beyond our technological knowledge. That's a summary. It's not a quote. That's a summary of that memo. You can get it and read it. So for those of you who are saying, well, I don't know if I want to believe UFOs are real, you need to crawl back under that rock. Come on. That debate was over by 1947. General Twining at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, in charge of Air Materiel Division, writes to another general and says they're real, they're fast, and they're beyond our capabilities technologically. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking about this move to sanitize this instruction manual of this reference to UFOs. You can download the instruction manual as it was until Huffington Post asked the question. You can download it at my site. You just go to KevinSmithShow.com. Scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show, click that picture, and it'll download that to your computer, okay? It's a PDF file, so you do have to have a PDF reader, you know, like Adobe Reader or something like that, which, by the way, is free. All right, so General Twining wrote this memo in 1947, September the 28th, 1947, to Brigadier General George Shulgin. He says about UFOs, they are real. It's not imagined. They operate intelligently. They're under intelligent control. Even flying in formations and at incredible speeds. They operate beyond our technological knowledge. And like I said, you know, if you're one of these people still saying, I don't know if I want to believe in UFOs. Okay, you crawl on back under your rock and go back to sleep. All right, that debate was over in 1947. That debate was over right then when that memo came out, when it went to General George Shulgin. Right then, that debate was over. Well, there were people in the Air Force that actually it was still the Army Air Corps, U.S. Army Air Corps, at the time, and they wanted to investigate this. They seriously wanted to investigate and find out what the heck is this stuff, and you know, where is it coming from? What's it up to? They were serious about it. They took their jobs quite seriously. And so, under General Cabell, something was designed to do that. It was called Project Sign. Now, officially, Project Sign went into business in 1948, just 1 week after the U.S. Army Air Corps became the U.S. Air Force, separate from the Army. 1 week later, Project Sign was in business. However, there is some indication that as far back as 1946, what became Project Sign was informally being done and was informally being called Project Saucer. Now, that information apparently comes from a secretary that worked in that unit. But we know for sure, in 1948, Project Sign went into business, and they took a look at all these UFO reports. They took a look at all the evidence. They concluded that they thought that these UFOs, number one, they are real. Number two, they are likely of extraterrestrial origin. Well, when their report percolated its way up the chain, as these things do, some of the people up at the top, some of the top brass, you know, they said, we can't have this. We extraterrestrial? Why, we can't say anything like that. So they rejected the report. Now, let me say something about this, because I know we have some top brass listening. I'm not anti-top brass. I've been top brass in my work, and so I'm not anti-top brass. But guys, come on. You know, and I know, that the best and most authentic information comes from the low levels. It doesn't come from your level. The people on the ground looking at the bugs describe them better than all the mid-management who make amendments to the reports. You know it, and I know it. And you know and I know that the Project Sign report was likely accurate. But they rejected it. So Project Sign was dissolved. Project Grudge was then put in place. Now, this group was formed for the purpose of debunking Project Sign inside the military, debunking their own work. So I told you that, you know, we get frustrated because we think, okay, you know, they just lie to us and lie to us and lie to us. Well, it's not happening just to us, folks. It's happening to top military officers in our military, and I'm going to share that with you. So Project Grudge goes in and starts trying to debunk everything and make just ridicule everything Project Sign did. All right. General George P. Cabell learned that Grudge had been doing this debunking and was even ignoring UFO reports, and he absolutely became furious. He boiled over. He called in the top officers that were in charge of trying to find out what was going on with UFOs. He had several meetings with them, and listen to this. This is a quote from one of his meetings. I have been lied to and lied to and lied to. I want it to stop. I want the answer to the saucers, and I want a good answer. But it didn't stop there. He said, he told the officers of Grudge, I want an open mind. In fact, I order an open mind. Anyone who doesn't keep an open mind can get out now. Now, that's General George P. Cabell. So here we had a guy who was really trying genuinely to get the answers. And he had people getting government paychecks in the military, running interference and lying to him. So this hasn't just been happening to you and to me. It's been happening to the generals who really have tried to get to the bottom of this. There is something powerful and dark. Someone, a group of someones, very powerful and very dark behind this secrecy. So powerful that they could get military officers to go against the orders of their direct commanding general, lie to that general, and keep him in the dark. That's pretty sinister. That is, in effect, a coup. It certainly is insubordination. It certainly is something worth court-martial. It may be treasonous. But it was going on, and probably, I would say, it assuredly is still going on. You've got people in the military who are trying to do the right thing. You've got people in the military who are clean. You got people in the military who are straight as an arrow, and a lot of them. But there is a dark and powerful force at work against them in the military. And there's the proof. So General Cabell, when the report came out from Project Grudge, still furious, he characterized it as tripe. There's more right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here, and my sympathy to you for whatever kept you from the first hour, but we're glad you're here now. So folks, I said there's more to this story, right? The story doesn't end with General Cabell being really excessively ticked off. I mean, he was totally blocked in his efforts to get to the bottom of whatever we could find out about these UFOs. He raised holy hell with these guys, and they still issued a report that was a debunking report against Project Sign. As I said, effectively, that looks like a coup, doesn't it? It looks like there are people in the military who march to orders given by someone other than their commanding generals. That's frightening. any way you slice that, that's frightening. But there's the evidence that it happened then, and we have no real reason to think it doesn't happen now, especially with this subject about UFOs. So after Project Grudge issued its report, and remember, Project Sign looked at it, and Project Sign said they're real, and we think they are likely of extraterrestrial origin. There were people, high officers in the Pentagon, who said, oh no, we can't have that. So regardless of what the data says, we can't let the data say that. So they sent it back, and Sign had to say, well, there's not sufficient evidence to make a positive identification, which is another way of saying these are unknowns. So that was their report. Then Project Grudge is put in place to debunk Project Sign. General Cabell did everything he could to get these guys straight. He yelled, he screamed, he gave direct orders. And they still blocked him. So then Project Grudge is dead. It's dissolved. It's done its thing. And Project Blue Book comes along. The very first person to head up Project Blue Book was Captain Edward J. Ruppelt. Ruppelt writes about experiencing the same thing that General Cabell experienced. He interviewed Air Force pilots who told him about amazing encounters with UFOs, but they were ordered not to write a report, or if they had written a report, they were ordered to destroy the report or to rewrite the report, because the base commander didn't want anything about UFOs coming out of his base. Ruppelt wrote about that. He wrote about how these guys, these base commanders, and not just the base commanders, but commanders under them, were blocking the effort to find out about UFOs. He writes about government cover-up. He writes about cover-ups inside the military operating against direct orders of the military. It's a pretty powerful book, pretty explosive book. You ought to read it. It's called the Report. I think it's called the Report on the Unidentified Flying Objects. Great book. So he leaves Blue Book and he leaves the military, but he doesn't leave UFOs. Captain Edward J. Ruppelt remained interested in UFOs. And after leaving the military, he's frequently at UFO conventions and UFO conferences. There are pictures of him attending these UFO conferences. And some of you will remember the show that I did a couple of years ago that was specifically on Edward J. Ruppelt. And I showed you a picture of him at a UFO convention or UFO conference. He was frequently there. His book is very open-minded. Now, suddenly, in 1960, he dies. As I said, it was very strange. He's 37 years old, and he has a myocardial infarction, has a heart attack, and he dies. Certainly could be completely natural. It just happened. It certainly could be that. But when you add to that the fact that within a year they released his book again, only this time it had an additional chapter that repudiates everything that he says in the book, where he says he doesn't buy any of it. Allegedly, it's written by him I have my doubts about that. And when they released it, the publisher did not put on the cover new, revised edition, anything like that. They just released it as though it were the same book. So people who had never read the original book are coming to it totally unsuspecting, and they read this fairly fantastic, marvelous book, and then they get to the last chapter, and what happens? He lets all of the air out of all the tires. Or someone does. Now, it would be normal if you revise a book and you add to it that you put on the cover revised edition, because people who already have the book, if they don't know it's a revised edition, there's no reason for them to buy it again. But if it's a revised edition and they like the first one, then they're likely to buy this one. So by not putting revised edition on this issue, this book, when they issued it, by not putting that on there, they cut off hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars in sales. Why would they do that? Well, the only thing that makes sense to me, and this is just my opinion, but the only thing that makes sense to me is they did it because they didn't want you to know it's a revised edition. They want you to believe that's what he wrote, when perhaps he really didn't. Now, when you put that together with his death at 37 of a heart attack, it makes the heart attack a little bit suspect, doesn't it? There are people who are saying right now to themselves, well, our government wouldn't do that, especially to a respected Air Force officer. You don't think so. You don't think so. Project Blue Book, as I said, Special Report 14 came out with the fact that there were about 1,700 unknowns. Now, there's been a reassessment of that, several reassessments, where people went through the data and took a look at it again, and it comes out to about 4,000. About 4,000 unknowns. However, on top of all of that, ladies and gentlemen, is what General Bolander said when he tells us, as Blue Book comes to an end, that the real stuff has never been part of Blue Book anyway. When he tells us that there is a side rail method for Air Force personnel to report seeing a UFO, and that reports of unidentified flying objects which could affect national security are not part of the Blue Book system. They never were. There was always a side rail that information was diverted to, and it never got to Project Blue Book. And when we put with that the fact that we have an Air Force personnel instruction manual that tells them what that side rail issue, that side rail method is. It tells them where to send their information. They send it to the Director of Naval Intelligence in Washington, D.C. And it's in this manual. And Huffington Post ask them about it. Huffington Post comes up with that information and asks the Pentagon about it, so the Pentagon makes the information disappear out of that manual. What does that say to you? Well, to me, that says it's a black hole. And a black hole is hiding truth. A black hole in information, that's where you put information to try and hide the information. But all it does is suck in everything around it. That means all eyes turn toward it. It's just like putting neon lights all around it. Even though it's a black hole, you may as well have lit it up with neon lights. The point is, we have evidence, not suggestions, but actual evidence from a general who says that even though Blue Book ceased, we still are investigating UFOs. Even though Blue Book ceased, we still have a procedure, a side rail method, for Air Force personnel to report UFOs. And they're not reporting them to us, they're reporting them to the Director of Naval Intelligence. So why is this important, folks? Have you ever heard of Gary McKenna? Gary McKenna is the guy that hacked into military and also NASA computers and says that he found U.S. Navy lists of off-Earth ships and their personnel, non-terrestrial officers. So what do you think about it? Now do you see, perhaps, why they want Gary McKenna's hide? Look, what he did was illegal, and I think he should pay. I do. I think he should be punished for what he did. You know that. I've said it. But 70 freaking years? Listen, people commit murder and get off with less than that. So why are they after Gary McKenna's hide? Is it possible we just saw why? All right, I would like for you to join the conversation. I'd like to know what you think about this. You might think I've totally misinterpreted all of this, and that's okay. If you think I've totally misinterpreted it, please call and tell me that, and tell me why you think I misinterpreted. If you think I got it right, please feel free to say that too. But join the conversation. Jump in here with both feet. And let's talk about this. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And if you're outside of the USA, outside of Canada, and you don't want to make that international call, you can still participate by going to my website. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. And right above the picture, you will see the link that says Flash Message. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
And you got my first question. You tied it in nicely with Gary McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
The Office of Naval Intelligence, why is the Air Force reporting to them, and then Gary McKenna's list of off-planet officers.
Yeah.
Now, here's another question.
All right.
Why is the United States Air Force patrolling Canadian skies?
I
don't always
know.
Says United States or Canada.
Well, you know, Canada is a very tight ally of the United States, as is the United Kingdom and Australia. So perhaps there's some agreement between us that you know, we patrol their skies. I don't know. I do know that NORAD is us in Canada.
Okay, now here's another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is NORAD Instruction 10-19?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
I don't know either. I was wondering if that guy who saw the missile launch from Arizona, if he used to work for NORAD, maybe he would know what it was. And if he's listening, could he please call in and tell us what it is?
All right. How do you know about it?
It's further down in that report on page 38.
Oh, okay. All right. And it's NORAD instruction what? 10-19. Okay. Well, maybe he will. Maybe he will. I have no idea what that is.
I don't either.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Do you think this is a black hole in information, or do you think it's much ado about nothing?
It's just if I remember correctly, he used to handle these kinds of reports coming into NORAD.
No, I understand that. I'm asking. I understand. I'm asking you about this thing that the Air Force has done with this instruction manual. taking that out. Oh. Is that a black hole in information, or is it just much ado about nothing?
It's just a bunch of stupid idiots trying to hide something.
I have no idea what that means. Is it a black hole in information?
Stupid idiots.
Okay, I guess that means it's a black hole in information.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Brent, thanks. I appreciate the call.
Yep, goodbye.
All right, bye. All right, 623-444-5889. Maybe you think I'm making too much of this. As I said, I don't think this is astounding. We've seen them do things like this before. But I think what this does, my assessment of this, is that by taking this out of the manual and republishing it, I think what this does is underscore the fact that these previous memos that we've taken a look at by previous generals are still in play, and they just don't want people looking at it. I think they did not realize that General Bolander's memo put together with their manual gave us the procedure. I think they didn't realize that. And when Huffington Post asked them about it, I think that someone said, oops, look what that does. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Yeah, Steve.
Interesting subject tonight and interesting tie-in with these UFOs and the Department of the Navy. I'm retired Army myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your service.
But I'm well aware of the Navy's preferential treatment when it comes to budget, and I'm also aware that for a while our presidents came from the Department of the Navy. In fact, FDR was the Secretary of the Navy for a while, and so was Theodore Roosevelt. Both Roosevelts were Secretaries of the Navy.
Mm-hmm. Carter was Navy.
Yeah, and Jimmy Carter, right. Mm-hmm. He was part of the nuclear submarine fleet, I do believe.
That's right.
And also part of the Trilateral Commission, I might add. I heard for General Cavill of the Air Force and his getting angry with his subordinates. I think his anger would have been better directed at whoever they were working for. You know, people who were superior to them and possibly also superior to him. His job was an appointed position, clearly. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was put there more for smokescreen than for finding answers. And I think if he felt like he was a dupe, just an appointed dupe, that he should have ferreted out who these subordinates were really working for and gotten angry with them. That anger would have resulted in, I have no idea. But, you know, here's another interesting thing. While we recognize the U.S. Navy as an important part of our black ops, I want to scale again into U.S. history, or not U.S. history, but world history. At the end of World War II, after Hitler was deposed, he handed over the running of the Third Reich to Admiral Dönitz, who was in charge of the German Navy. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Nazis were involved in a lot of advanced technology, the Nazi Bell Project, and a lot of things that involved alternative physics, torsion technology, and so on. And it's interesting how all this stuff is so convoluted and so connected. And you're definitely onto something here, Kevin. You're really onto something.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. But look, let me tell you, I think this is a very tiny piece of a very big puzzle. And probably the person who has a bigger picture of this and a clearer picture, and this would be a piece of the puzzle to put in his picture, would be Dr. Joseph Farrell. Dr. Farrell's books about how the Nazis didn't surrender. Germany did. But there was not a single Nazi officer at the surrender.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Joseph P. Farrell and his research have definitely led to some interesting things. And as has Peter Lavenda's research. And you know, you just have to wonder how deep this stuff is covered up, and how well it's flourishing underneath the cover up, and the headlines that we read today on everything from the New York Times to the Drudge Report are being engineered by these same forces. And you know, having explored these cans of worms a little while, Kevin, I'll go ahead and hang up and let you comment and let other readers call in.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And that's exactly what he just said, is exactly what I'm speaking about out in Los Angeles here in November at the Alchemy event. I'll be speaking about defense against the dark arts. There is a way to identify, to expose and defend yourself against those very tactics. But it's happening all the time. All right, 623-444-5889. The importance of what I'm talking about here tonight, the focus and the point of what I'm talking about here tonight, is that it appears to me that a black hole has just opened up in this information. And I don't want it to go unnoticed. I want you to notice that it's a black hole. Because when a black hole opens in the information, when it develops, that means something really important is sitting right there. That means, since it's about UFOs, in fact, it's where it says that you will report any sighting of unidentified flying objects, and then it tells us how they are to report it. Well, when they take that out, what that seems to signify to me is that there's something really big going on with this whole operation of reporting UFOs to the Director of Naval Intelligence, even though the Air Force says we're out of the UFO business. They can say that because they're sending it over to Director of Naval Intelligence. I got something else to tell you when we come back. We'll be back right after this.
Here taking all our money, and the people that come into this town, they leave broke. I need you to investigate them. Call me. Hey, 70. If they haven't got me yet, please help me. See you, Kevin.
Okay, Vegas Gary, we'll see what we can do to help you out there in Vegas. 623-444-5889 is the number, and I would dearly love to hear from you what you think about that. I think this is important. I think this is linked to the Gary McKenna case, sort of indirectly, but linked nonetheless. And I think it's important for us to think about this and try to come up with in our minds what we think is going on here, because what's going on here seems to be trying to cover up the trail, the tracks of what they're really doing with UFO information. They're still in the business. That's my point. They say they're not. I say they are, based on what they've just done. If they weren't, you know, look, Huffington Post contacts the Pentagon. They say, all right, here's this publication you've got. It's an instruction manual for Air Force personnel. And look right here on page 37 of this manual. It says, you will report any sightings of unidentified flying objects. And right down here, it tells how to report it, what you do with it. And they send it over to the Director of Naval Intelligence. What's up with this when you guys say you're no longer investigating UFOs? All right, now, if they really wanted everybody to just go away and mind their own business, all they had to do was say, well, look, that's left over from previous times back when we were investigating UFOs. We just left it in there. But, I mean, if they see a flying bunny rabbit, we expect them to report it. There's much ado about nothing. It's nothing. And there would have been a raised eyebrow or two, but people would have just kind of gone on about their business and said, oh, well, okay. But when you take it completely out of the manual, and we don't have any memos saying that Bolander's memo, General Bolander's memo, is now defunct. It's nullified. We don't have that. Then to us, it sort of, to me, it looks like you're just trying to hide something here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. The book that you have on your website from Captain Rupert, is that the revised edition or is that the first edition?
That's the first edition.
That's the first edition. You know, it's just like you said, the fact that they snuck this second one in and didn't advertise it and gave away possibly millions of dollars, that speaks volumes in itself. But you know what's even bigger, and you mentioned it in previous guests, is this Gary McKenna. Unlike this, omitting this part of this manual, the fact that they're going after him is just a bigger neon light. I mean, it just screams that, you know, what he's saying is accurate.
Well, I think so, too. Well, let me say this. If they were going after him and they wanted a, you know, 2 to 5 year sentence, there would be people opposed to that, but that would seem somewhat reasonable. Do you know who Mitnick is?
No, I don't.
He is the guy that the FBI said is the worst computer criminal in our history. He got 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the worst computer criminal in our history. He got 10 years. They're going after McKenna, and they're threatening 70 years. Now, that, to me, stands up and screams, McKenna's telling the truth.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with that. And also, one other thing, just to get away from that part. If say you're a U.S. Air Force pilot, okay, you're a second lieutenant just in the United States, you completed your training, and you spot a UFO. I'm sure that you're not going to have access to those pictures you just took. You know, when you landed your jet, you're going to come in, a division of labor policies in effect where a crew comes and unarms the plane, and you're never going to see, you're not ever going to see those pictures.
That's right.
You may get someone to contact you and discuss it, but... So I think, you know, this manual, this 2008, in fact, you probably won't even know that it goes to the Department of Navy.
Well,
I know why I wanted that. You
would know it because it was in the manual. And that's still in the manual. What they took out is unidentified flying objects.
But my point is, instance on that, you would have nothing to do as the pilot, because some other labor is actually doing this, and that would be out of your hand, even though you might know that's going.
Right.
The thing I just remembered, Captain Rupelt's, did he ever mention the Men in Black?
Wow, you know, it's been a while since I read the book. I don't know if he did. I don't remember.
The reason I mention that is that might be a reason why that one general couldn't get his men to tell the truth. Officers is because maybe they were interfered with through the Men in Black.
Well, it could be, but I'll tell you something. Now, you're former military?
No, sir.
Okay, nor am I, but I have worked alongside our military as an international policeman, which is, when you're in those zones, it's quasi-military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Even though the general over the U.S. military in the area where you're working has no direct authority over you, you are expected to follow his orders if he gives you an order.
Mm-hmm.
And then you report it back, you know, well, I had to do this because the general said do this, okay? And you report it back to your upline officers. So you're still expected to follow his direction and instructions if he gives you an order. I'll tell you something. The idea that someone would come to me and intimidate me into not following a general's order, even though I'm not under his direct command, to me, that's very far-fetched. It wouldn't happen. I mean, they could come to me and try it, but they just have to sit on the corner and whistle Dixie, too, because if the general tells me to do something, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's that way with most, I would say with all military personnel, except if they have allegiance to something else and they are in effect infiltrators into the military. At that point, they would drag their feet, drag their rear, not give him what he wants, but do it in such a way that they can't really be court-martialed for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, see, that when you read what Cabell said, you read what General Cabell said, and the fit that he threw, and he still didn't get what he wanted. Okay, when you read that, although it doesn't come out and say it, it's describing a situation where it appears that the military was infiltrated by something very dark, very sinister, and these people they had allegiance to it. They were willing to anger the general and risk court-martial, so they had high loyalty to something, to someone, in order to do that.
Boy, that's very interesting. And getting back to where the one caller mentioned about the president being in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting that there's also now a CIA connection.
Yeah, that's not healthy. But, that's true. Well, you know, Kennedy was very active. He was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's true. We have a lot of presidents that were in the Navy. But let me ask you this. Wouldn't that seem sort of normal since the Navy is the largest of the services?
Oh, sure. And I'm pro, I'm pro-military and stuff. I'm not anti-anything like that. But, when Jimmy Carter was president, and I think he was basically ineffectual, but I'm getting to have more respect for him now. I just read somewhere where he's the only president who hasn't profited after his presidency.
Well, he hasn't profited from his connections that he had as president. He has profited by being able to write books and make speeches and things like that, but that would be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Another interesting show.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. You know, when I started looking at this, I didn't have any idea that it was going to lead my mind to Gary McKenna. But it did. Now, maybe you think there's no connection. I think there is. I think it may be a little bit of an indirect connection. But I think it is a connection, and the connection is this. One, the information disappears into a black hole. Two, it's connected to the Director of Naval Intelligence. Three, that's what Gary McKenna was talking about. He was talking about having found lists of ships and personnel that are off-world, and they are U.S. Navy. So, I think it's if not a direct connection, it certainly is an indirect connection to Gary McKenna, and sort of provides us with maybe a little bit of the data, the reason why it appears that military, the U.S. is so sensitive about whatever it is McKenna saw. Now maybe we have a little evidence. You know, we've had Gary McKenna's story, but we haven't seen any evidence that what he's saying is true. I think the Air Force may have just given us a little bit of the evidence. Unintentionally, I'm sure they didn't intend to do that. But I think that may be the result of this. You know, this soup has been on the stove and a-cooking since way back in 1947. And there has been, as we have seen, a struggle even inside the military between those who want the truth out there and those who don't. Between those who want you to know and those who don't. I am persuaded that struggle continues. We will continue right after this. Go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We just have a few minutes left in tonight's show. As I said, one of our listeners, one of our members, is the first person to alert me to this article about Huffington Post having asked the question from the question of the Pentagon. And then this reference to unidentified flying objects. It's not an ambiguous reference. That's the exact words that are used. And it says, if you have any of these, if you cite any of these following things, you will report them. And it lists unidentified flying objects. And don't even try that thing about, well, they're talking about, you know, if it's some kind of aircraft, you don't. No. That's the first thing they listed, unidentified aircraft. The second thing they listed was missiles. The third thing they listed was, quote, unidentified flying objects. So they made that disappear. And by making that disappear out of that document, in my opinion, they've drawn attention to the fact that it is still going on, because you see, right under that list, it tells us how they are to report it. And what it tells us is that they are to report it by taking as many photographs as they can, document it as well as you can with as many photographs as possible, and then send the undeveloped film or photos and negatives with a brief written report and other identifying information to the Director of Naval Intelligence. So we're told what the side rail method is, the method that never went through Project Blue Book. It never went through Project Blue Book. Blue Book never got those reports. The real serious UFO reports with real serious photographs and film from these aircraft went on the side rail and went to the Director of Naval Intelligence. So by leaving unidentified flying objects in that list, they're revealing to us that they're still in the business. But it's not the U.S. Air Force doing it. It is who? It's the Office of Naval Intelligence. That's who's doing it. So it's still going on. By leaving that in there, by leaving unidentified flying objects in the list, and then after the list telling us what the procedure is, they're telling us that it is still going on. They do take it seriously. And for all of those out there who peek out from under the rock once in a while and scratch their head and say, well, I don't know if I believe it in UFOs. Well, come on. The office, the Director of Naval Intelligence, that's the office they go to. So do you think, the Director of Naval Intelligence is not a little job, folks. That's huge. So do you really, really think that they're just not interested in UFOs anymore and they're not doing anything about it and they're not investigating? You bet they are. Unfortunately, they documented how. I don't think they realized that they had done that. At least I don't think they made the connection between that and the memo of General Bolander where he said there was this side rail method. And when Huffington Post asked about it, they suddenly realized, oops, here's the evidence of what Bolander said. And the connection here that I made with McKenna is an indirect connection, but the connection is it's the U.S. Navy. That's the connection. The connection is the U.S. Navy is in the UFO business. This document said so. You've got a copy of it. If you don't have a copy of it, that's your fault, because I'm providing it for a free download. All you have to do is go to my website, scroll down, and when you see the picture about tonight's show, just click that picture. It'll download the document, and you'll have it. Now, that's the document before they modified it and took out unidentified flying objects. When they took it out, it drew attention to it. Probably they didn't expect that would happen, but I'm a black hole hunter. Whenever I see a black hole in information, you know I'm diving in. And after 11 years, they should know I'm diving in. Now, let me say to the U.S. Navy, and let me say to the U.S. Air Force, and everybody else in the U.S. government, I'm not opposed to you. And I'm not trying to uncover something you've got classified that you think we don't need to know about. What I'm saying to you is, you told us about it. You told us about it. And then you put up a big neon sign around it and said, don't look here. How smart is that? Come on, guys. How smart is that? But the connection is, when Gary McKenna told us what he saw, he didn't tell us that it was U.S. Air Force ships out in spaceships out in deep space. He didn't tell us that it was NASA with secret space fleets out there. He told us it was the U.S. Navy. And this document gives support to that. This document says, yeah, it is the U.S. Navy. That is who investigates UFO reports. It's the Director of Naval Intelligence. So what McKenna says now seems a bit more credible, doesn't it? Well, this doesn't prove that what he says is true. But when you take this document that you can download for free off of my website right now, when you take this document, you take the information I've given you tonight, you add to it what Gary McKenna says, and then add to that the fact that the U.S. is trying to put him in jail for 70 years. 70 years. It all kind of adds up to he's probably telling us the truth. Now, you guys that are trying to manage this and keep everybody from knowing the truth, you ought to consider that. Everything you've done points to McKenna telling the truth. You might need to adjust your methods just a little bit. You know that being a bull in a china closet, that method doesn't work real well. It draws a lot of attention to the china closet. And what's happened here really does draw attention to the possibility, in fact, probably the likelihood, that what McKenna said he saw, he saw. Because he said it was the U.S. Navy with a fleet of ships out there. And now we see the documentation that it is the U.S. Navy that's involved in UFO investigation. There's probably more documentation, too, but wow, this drew a lot of attention to that. And I want to thank the guys at the Air Force or the Pentagon, whoever made the decision to create that black hole in the information. I really appreciate it, and I think our listeners do. But really, come on, guys, think before you do something like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's just about time for us to check out of here for this evening. I want to thank you. It's been a fantastic week here at the Kevin Smith Show. I have enjoyed every single night, and I hope you have. And I hope you'll be with us for the best of Kevin tomorrow night and Sunday night at Indy 104. We do that every weekend. And then back with us next week. Come see me out in Los Angeles. I want to meet you at the Alchemy event in Los Angeles. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.